How is everybody today? Good. Well, somebody's awake today. So nice to have all of you here today. We are talking in Advent. Advent is about expectation and just leaning forward. We were leaning forward when Jesus was first coming, and now we're leaning forward on His second coming. And if you're a visitor with us today, you should know that we've been expecting you as well. Not in a creepy way. We've been praying for you because we want you to know that this is a safe place to come and explore your faith. We are striving to be a family that anyone can belong to. So wherever you're coming from, you're home here. We hope you'll have a great cup of coffee, that you'll be stimulated in your mind and your heart. You'll make a new friend and that you'll keep joining us week in and week out. We've talked about hope and peace. And next week we're going to be talking about joy. About love. Today we're going to be talking about joy. So let's light our candles of hope, peace. And today, joy. This would be a lot more fun with a flamethrower. You think I'm joking? In Luke 1:10, we read this great story. Jesus is being born. And there's shepherds out in the field. And angels come down. And there's this moment where heaven is dancing and singing. And there's this intensity. I imagine there was a blinding light and a fear element and a volume element. An angel looks and says, "Don't be afraid." Because you probably would be with that kind of grandiosity. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. That's gospel language. Of great joy. And it is for all people. You have a right to celebrate. Because there's something great happening in Bethlehem. Great joy. I want to think about how to talk about joy today. And there's so many different directions we could go. So I want to start by showing a clip from a film called Avatar. It came out in 2009. And if you've seen the film, it is a spectacular visual cinema experience. And the music is just as powerful. So what I want you to do is just imagine the scene and allow yourself to join in the scene. Let's watch this now. Watch that film originally, if you're like me, you're thinking, I want to ride that. The whole idea of an avatar is that you go into this blue person's body and then they connect with these creatures and do this amazing flight. And it's a rite of passage and it's a very interesting storyline. But what's fascinating is in this moment in the film, you are becoming one with the story and the beauty and the grandiosity and all that is going on in that. Well, Disney decided to take it to another level. We just got back from the Animal Kingdom. And I kid you not, before the park opens, there was almost a 2.5-hour wait for the ride, Avatar. And by the time we were getting on the ride, it was a four-hour wait. A four-hour wait. Just imagine that. And I dare say it's probably worth it one time. You step into this world and it's that scene and you're in an immersive 3D theater where you're one of like 40 people in a giant robot moving around. So all the inertia is real. The 3D is real. There's sprays of mist and the smells of the world that you're flying through. The creature you're on is breathing between your knees and you could feel it. And you're leaning forward and you drop off and it just goes... And you feel the wind. It's just incredible. And you're in this moment. And I think, that is joy. It's like the whole world has opened up. And everything for a moment makes sense. And you're like, you get off the ride and you're like, I'm ready to commit my life to that. I just want to go live there. It's beautiful. It's amazing. And there's something stirring about it. I think that is not too far off from what we should expect from God when we get it. When we begin to understand it and peel back the layers and make ourselves ready, we'll talk about that in a minute, and God comes in and provides joy. And we experience something that is very moving. I thought about preaching on Yaj. And then have all of you go, why are you talking about Yaj? And then say, well, because joy backwards is Yaj, and joy tends to come to us kind of backwards. We don't expect it like that. And I think that's one of the big differences between joy and happiness. So let me define it this way. Happiness is when you find yourself in a circumstance where from outside of your perspective, things are pretty good. And there's a feeling of pleasure and joy and peace, and you'll like it. That's happiness, a state of being. Joy is much deeper. It is internally the perspective. And that can change even when the circumstances are harsh. Happiness is not possible if the circumstances are bad. Joy is. In fact, it tends to be when things are bad. And you're not sure how to survive it, and suddenly God infuses you with something very special. And you then are just like on the back of the Avatar. You're seeing the world from a different perspective. And your heart races. And there's genuine joy. It refreshes. It empowers. It's like a cold drink of water on a hot day. And the reflection is from the inside of you, not the outside of you. John Piper has a really unique definition. He says, number one, it's a good feeling. Two, in the soul. Three, produced by the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, right? Four, when we see Christ as the Holy Spirit leads it. And five, in the world and in God's Word. So in those categories, when the Holy Spirit leads it, something happens. And it's a good feeling in our soul. And we just know things. We just experience things. I've heard it said that happiness is 1 inch deep and a mile wide. Pure joy is a mile deep and a mile wide. It has longevity and power that can propel and push and create and refresh. Isaiah 55:12 says, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. When you see a tree clapping its hands, that's powerful. That's the kind of impact this joy of the Lord brings. It moves things. James 1:2 says, consider it pure joy when, and it lists a whole bunch of bad stuff. Now you notice there, it doesn't say that bad stuff is joy. It says consider it as if it were joy. Because as it does its thing, that's the hard stuff, the end result will bring joy because God's going to provide that. Almost like when you show up to school on time and do your homework, God provides a good grade, and that's the joy. It's like an expectation. James is saying, just consider it joy when you fall into trials and temptations and frustrations of every kind. Because this is what you can know. The fruit of the Spirit will come along right behind the test. And make no mistake, God provides that. It's fruit of the Spirit. It's not by your effort. It's nothing you can do. You might can create some happiness. You can buy a new truck and a car and go on vacation and create your outside circumstances in such a way that for a moment you're at peace and enjoy it. And then it'll get messed up, because it always does. But joy comes from the Lord. And it's unique. Think about a baby. Crying, smelly, loud, poopy, gross, messy, needy, not offering anything to the world. If you're sitting next to one of those on a plane, in a room, at the hospital, it's not enjoyable, right? And if you say it is, you're just lying. But if you see the mom with the child, you have compassion, because maybe you were a mom or a dad. Maybe you can connect there. But there's something just not satisfying about baby in and of itself. But when it's your baby, and you go, oh, that little stinker, oh my goodness, he's got my eyes. He's got your profile. Did you see that thing he did? Did you see what she said? That reminds me of a whole new perspective. And then you take it up a whole nother notch over that. You mean the way I feel about this little messy, poopy thing is the way God sees me? And your perspective shifts. That's approaching biblical joy. It's a way that God puts us into a mess and then reframes it from within so that we are then motivated, refreshed, and empowered with this thing called joy. It illuminates a bigger truth. It makes you have to smile and grin just a little bit. That phrase I love to say, God's just sweet that way. That's joy. You see something, you go, he could have done that any way he wanted, but he weaved it in the sweetest sort of way. Wow. Everything going to be all right. I think that is probably the phrase I want you to take with you today. We're in a situation and God infuses us with joy. And we think everything's going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. And we're refreshed and we're empowered. God tells us to love Him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And I think He infuses the proper amount of joy in all of those areas. Sometimes all at the same time. And it's always related to illuminating or seeing or having an understanding. So I want to use the word see to kind of illustrate this. For example, in our mind, we perceive. And it's in the perceiving of things when our mind gets it and we go, oh, and suddenly there's joy. I remember when I was in grad school, there was a big debate in the churches of Christ, especially about how the Holy Spirit indwells. Is it a word-only indwelling or literally a metaphysical connection to my physical body and God's Spirit? And the debate would go back and forth, and I didn't know. I'm just trying to learn. And what does the Bible say? And it's, you know, it says this, it says that. And I have this teacher say this and this teacher say that. And I was in that debate learning and trying to understand it. And the question that one of the mentors said to me was, what does he do? He's in the Word only. That's the way he does his thing. He did some stuff back in the day, but he doesn't do that anymore. It's just in the Word only. Oh, okay, I guess. And then I began to learn about this big image that is consistent throughout the Bible, where God says, I will be their God, and they will be my people. And little bit by little bit by little bit, he comes closer and closer and closer until finally he indwells the temple in like real form, where people are going to die if they walk in there. And now Paul says, you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what he does. It's that he's with us. Mind blown. And there was instant joy when I got that connection in my mind. It's like the covers had been peeled back and suddenly I saw God's hand over all of creation in a way I'd never seen it before. And there was joy in my mind. And then I think about the heart. If the mind is perceive, the heart is into me, see, intimacy, right? Where we connect with people. Remember when Jesus went and found the water at the well and the woman was sitting there in the midday and she's hiding? He like starts talking to her and they have this little discourse. And by the end of it, he's calling her out on all of her junk. Well, actually, you're not married to the man you're living with. And you've been married multiple times other than this. And she's just like, wow. But this is what's cool. She runs back into town, if you recall. And she says, everybody, I found the Messiah. He just told me everything I did wrong. And he still likes me. Now I'm interpolating a little bit there. There was something heart connected. She was in a broken place, hiding out in the middle of the day. And here comes this rabbi and heart to heart says, you are special to me. Because you want to worship in spirit and truth. And that is what God is looking for. Well done. And I know about all your junk. I got it. Everything going to be all right. Joy. And it exudes. She goes into town and tells everybody. Her heart experienced joy because of intimacy. Jesus saw inside of her and knew her and loved her anyways. And it was in that moment that her heart exploded with joy. Because of seeing, or in this case, being seen. Then you think about the soul. This is mercy. Where God is orchestrating everything at just the right way for the greatest benefit of your soul. You're placed in the right time, in the century, in the date, in the place, precisely where you're supposed to be, so that you might reach out and find God, Acts 17. God has orchestrated providentially in a way that is the perfect scenario for you. That is a gift. That is a mercy in which your soul has joy when you get it. There's a scene in the movie Signs where Mel Gibson's character, he's a priest who kind of loses his faith after the death of his wife. And as his wife is dying, he hears something from her that makes no sense. And full circle to the end of the film, the moment when the aliens are taken over and they need to do something about it, and her words bring about the resolution to the whole story. And he's like, mind blown. It's not just coincidence, it's a sign. Thus the movie. It is a miracle. God has orchestrated everything precisely to bring me into the best place possible. And it included the death of my wife and his character. But he understood it. And there was joy because of it. He saw the hand of God providentially weaving the storyline so that the climax was exactly at the right time, at the right place, with the right outcome. Biblical joy. God is notorious for this. Strength. This is the gooseies. You had to have a C, right? Get the goosey bumps, right? When you're in a moment of worship and your hands go up and suddenly the Spirit is wrapped around you in a way that you've never experienced and you get goosebumps. Your physical reaction to worshiping and connecting to God. The Bible says that when two or more are gathered, He is there. We experience that. That is one of the ways that the strength, the physical bodies interact with the physical Lord, whatever that looks like, the metaphysical, the spiritual, when it connects and lives in our heart and we're experiencing that, it has an impact and there's joy. There's a feeling that goes with that. We get the goosies. Remember the scene from Prince of Egypt when he's talking with his sister? And of course, they change up the storyline a little bit because Moses, according to the Bible, seems to know who his family is. But they kind of set this up as the moment of truth where he discovers that he once was a slave too. And he doesn't believe it. How dare you, slave? He says to his little sister, who he doesn't know. And she starts singing the song that his mother sang. And he walks away and you can just see there's like a grip, a physiological connection. In which his perception explodes and suddenly everything is different. It started with joy and led to some depression, but ended back with joy in that particular character. There's so many ways to frame this. We've got the mind as perceived. We've got the heart of intimacy. We've got the soul of God's mercy, and then we've got our strength with the gooseys. In so many other ways, just as a perspective. Think about it this way. Some of you guys have this kind of board with the little holes in it. You hang stuff on, right? I want you to think about it this way. If you try to look at me this way, you can't really see a lot, right? You can see little bits and pieces. That's how we live most of our life. But every once in a while, God allows us to sneak up to one of these holes. And now I can see all of you through that hole. Back here, bits and pieces. Up here, crystal clear. That's biblical joy. It's the moment when it all makes sense. And God fills your heart and mind and soul and spirit in such a way that you just literally want to leap for joy. When the trees get this same, they want to clap their hands according to the Bible. That's the image you have of power and refreshment. It's back to the yada of experiencing God. The whole idea of the incarnation is for Jesus, God, to come and experience our world, to know it, to live it the way it's supposed to be. And thusly, for us to yada God through Him. It's that connection of experience. It is the understanding that brings great joy. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, and I would add the incarnation, the presence of God in this world, brings great joy because there's an understanding. There's an intellectual, emotional, spiritual, and physical awakening that happens. I also think it's interesting, the Bible says we should shout for joy, sing for joy, leap for joy. See, I would say we should leap in joy, or we should shout with joy. Why is it shouting for joy? It's almost like I'm saying, hey, joy. I'm shouting for joy, right? Could it be, just maybe, that there's something that God wants us to be a part of in order to make ourselves available for that joy? As if we have some authority to close it off if we choose not to. Psalms 19:7-8 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. All of them are about the commands of God, and all of them bring these things of refreshment and joy and light and seeing. They're correlated. There's something about understanding. I think yada fits into that. That idea of knowing and experiencing. It illuminates all of us and leaves us in a place where joy can then come in. Nehemiah 8 says this way, this day is holy to the Lord, so do not grieve. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. The song we just sang comes from this verse. The joy of the Lord is your strength. What does that mean? Let's keep reading. Then all the people went away and eat and drink and send portions of food to celebrate with great joy. Because now they understood the words that had been made known to them. There's an awakening and now joy follows that. That seems to be the consistent biblical idea. I want you to imagine being on a sailboat and you've got the sails up and the wind comes through and blows into it. You can't control the wind. You can't call the wind. You can't dictate the wind. You're dependent on waiting for the wind. But when it gets there and it fills the sails, it gives you great power. Think of joy like that. It's something God provides in a moment of need that sweeps you off your feet and moves you in a way that you might not have made otherwise. You're thinking about it. Your brain is on board. It's probably a good idea, but I'm just not sure. And then all of a sudden, God swoops in with this joy and you just lay it all out. And you just go, whatever, God, I'm here. There's an excitement that comes with it. It's power that God provides. There's a story that I think is fantastic in Luke 24. It really highlights all four of these categories in biblical joy. I'm going to read it now. If you'd like to follow along, it's going to be in Luke 24, starting at verse 13. But you might just close your eyes and soak it in. Jesus is just resurrected that morning. And there's rumors. The body's missing. What's going on? And here's what happens. Now that same day, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and they discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk?" They stood still and their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem and do not know the things that have been happening these days?" "What things?" he said. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people and the chief priests and our rulers. They handed him over to be sentenced to death. They crucified him. We had hoped he was the one who's going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning. They didn't find his body. They came and they told us and that they had seen the vision of angels who said that he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and they found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see." He said, "How foolish! How slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he began to explain to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." There's your illumination right there. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going to go on farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day's almost over." So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he began to give it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared right before their eyes. And they asked each other, "Were our hearts not burning within us while we walked with us? And while on the road, he opened the scriptures to us." And they got up, they returned once to Jerusalem, and they were found the 11. They were all assembled together. And they said, "It's true, it's true, the Lord is risen. He appeared to Simon." And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And while they were still talking, Jesus appeared again and said, "Peace be with you." Verse 41 says, "And while they still did not believe it because of the joy and the amazement, he said, 'Hey, do you got something to eat? Let me prove I'm really here.' They were so overwhelmed with joy because they had been illuminated. Their hearts were racing. Their mind were racing. Their bodies were walking. They were experiencing food with the master of all things. They knew what was up. And the story goes on that Jesus sends them out and says, 'Go into the world.'" This is the Great Commission right after this. We read about it in Matthew, but it sets it up. "Go and do these things. I'm going to send you out. You're going to need power. And so this is the joy of the Lord, and it will be your strength. You will be my witnesses because you've experienced it and you know it. So go forth and do likewise." See, sometimes we're open to this joy, and sometimes God has to crack us open for the joy. Ebenezer Scrooge. The Grinch. Right? Great Christmas stories that illuminate this very idea. One of my favorite is It's a Wonderful Life. The story is about a guy who is deciding that he doesn't like his life too much right now. And he's frustrated and he's angry. And he goes and wishes that it would all go away. And an angel comes down and says, "Okay, let's make it happen." And so everything goes away and he's overwhelmed and he's thinking, "I don't want to die. I don't want to just miss it all," because he's beginning to realize what he had. His eyes are being opened. He's begun to have a vision. And the scene picks up here. Let's play.
"I want to live again. I want to live again. You all right? Hey, what's the matter?
Now get out of here, Bert, or I'll hit you again. Get out of here.
What the Sam Hill are you yelling for, George?
You... George. Bert, do you know me?
Know you? You kidding? I've been looking all over town trying to find you. I saw your car piled into that tree down there, and I thought maybe you... Hey, your mouth's bleeding. Are you sure you're all right?
What you... My mouth's bleeding, Bert! Bert! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas,
George! Merry Christmas, movie home! Merry Christmas, Emporium! Merry Christmas, you wonderful Billy alone!
Mary!
Well, hello, Mr. Bank Examiner. How are you?
Mr. Bailey, there's a deficit.
I know, $8,000.
George, I've got a little paper.
I'll bet it's a warrant for my arrest. Isn't it wonderful? I'm going to jail. Merry Christmas. Reporters, where's Mary? Mary! Oh, look at this wonderful old drafty house. Mary! Mary! Kids! Pete! Jenny, Tommy! Oh, let me look at you. Oh, I could eat you up.
George!
Mary,
darling, Mary!
Oh, George!
Mary, George! George! George!
Oh, let me touch you.
Let me touch you.
Are you real?
Oh. Come on, George. Come on downstairs. Quick,
we're
on their way.
All right. Of course, that scene goes on. It gets more and more happy. But what's beautiful about that? That is the concept of biblical joy. He's in a tough place, and he's having a hard time, but he's not quite available for the joy, so God just cracks him wide open. The good news is God is more than willing to crack you open. I don't suggest that, though. What's better is to have your sails ready. So I think there's three ways that we really miss the mark on this. One is, we're lazy. We just don't put our sails up at all. We have no interest in that. That's a sure recipe for a crack open, okay? God will find you, and He will meet you there, and you will know it loudly in a moment like that. And when you finally get resolution and realize what you have, that joy will just overflow, and you'll just be like, wow, you're an amazing guy. Everything going to be all right. And it just, you get it, right? But then I think more common is we put up our sails, but we have holes all in the sails. So we don't have too much power pushing us because that makes us feel a little out of control. And we like to be in control. So we have holes in the sail. So we're getting a little of that wind, but we're kind of not all of it because we want to still be in control. That's one of those borderline ones. God may break you, may not. It depends on whether you can fix the sails up a little bit. But you can feel the wind and feel that joy and know that He's present. And there's kind of a meeting. I think a lot of us live there with control stuff going on. Then there's a third option. And that is, well, we want to avoid conflict altogether. So we turn the sails parallel to the wind. It's blowing right around us, but it's not affecting us. The goal is we've got to turn it into the wind so it catches the sail and pushes it. So I want to invite you, now I know I'm using big metaphors here, but what I want you to think about is this. How can you prepare yourself? Jesus said, those who have ears to hear, those who have eyes to see, the soil that is ready for the seed, for example, and many other stories like it. How do you prepare yourself so that you're like this? God, I want to do what you've called me to do, and I need refreshment, and I need strength and power. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. I need a little of that joy. I can't make it. It's fruit of the Spirit. And I need some fruit. Bring it. It's an attitude of the heart that doesn't create it. But it opens ourselves up to it. And there is no better time than Christmas season. No better time to look at the world, to look at the brokenness, to look at the challenges in your family, and to expect joy, to look for it, to open yourself up to it, to patch the holes, and to be prepared. Because if God's going to give you this joy, remember, it will refresh you, but it's also for the strength to do what He's called you to do. Weird complicated conversations with family members who are, right? That's just what Christmas is great for. Being in the parking lot with the idiot who cut you off 3 or 4 times. I'm just glad I am alive today, because I know people who didn't wake up this morning. Joy of the Lord can be your strength. When you're in the crazy season and things are going on and there are challenges, I want you to say this to yourself. Lord, I know that the joy of the Lord can give me the strength to get through this. And it is a fruit of the Spirit, so I have no control over it. So God, I ask you to bring this about in my life. Help me patch my sails. Help me make sure they're the right direction. Help me be open and willing. Bring it. And help me not to miss it. The Bible says not to squelch the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Same kind of idea. It's a way of being available for God to fill us with that joy. To give us the strength we need to do what He's called us to do. I want to invite you guys now. I'm going to pray and then we're going to have a closing song. We'll be dismissed here in a little bit. But I want to invite you while I'm praying to just open yourself up to the Lord. Just kind of quietly. I mean, if you want to take a posture like we've been doing with open hands and invite God to settle into you, to fill you with that. It's just what the Bible says. I mean, I have no control over this. Take it up with the Lord. But it's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Right there. So I want to invite you to invite God with expectation. And let's see what He does. Let's pray together. Father, You are a good God to us. You are so kind. Reading the Bible over and over is one consistent message. That You love us. And that everything is going to be all right. Lord, I ask that You would fill us with the joy of that knowledge in our mind, in our heart, in our bodies, in our spirit, in our soul. May You bring us into an experience with You, a yada. May our eyes see clearly. I pray, Father, that You would give us the joy of the Lord, as You've described so many times. So we are calling it. We're calling out to joy. We are worshiping in joy. We are reaching in joy. We are celebrating in joy. We are dancing in joy. Father, we are asking that You would bring that to fill us, especially for this season, so that we may have the strength that we need to do what You've called us to do. Thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to respond in some way, if we can encourage you today in some way, I want to invite you to do so. We're going to stand together and sing. And you can grab in the back or in the front and stand and sing together.
I will change Your name. You shall no longer be called Wounded Lonely or afraid, I will change Your name. Your new name shall be Confident Joyfulness, Overcoming One. Faithfulness, friend of God, one who seeks my face. I will change Your name. You shall no longer be called Wounded Outcast. Joyfulness. overcoming one. Faithfulness, friend of God, one who seeks my face. You're one who seeks my face.
Be dismissed with this blessing from Jude 24. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and power and authority through Christ Jesus our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.